my biggest passion has always been story. So growing up, I thought I was going to be a writer. I was interested in other arts. Like, I'd been involved with theater. I did music, and I drew. But I was interested in all of those things most when they were telling a story. So it was when it finally clicked for me that animation was a field where all art forms are combined to tell a story. Mm-hmm. I immediately knew that's what I wanted to be involved with.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Each show features an artist who uses their unique talents and skills to create something from nothing. On today's show, Meg is going to talk about her talents in the realm of animation and illustration, and what drew her to this type of art. Welcome to the show, Meg.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How would you describe what kind of art that you do?
What I'm really interested in is drawing stories. And the best stories are always the one that's driven by character and personality.
How do you go about creating somebody out of nothing?
There are different ways, depending on whether this is a character need, what kind of project the character's needed for. If it's a client project, they usually have at least some idea for me to go off of. When it's my own project, it's me going, what is going to be fun for me to communicate, and what do I want to communicate? And those are what informs the character.
Okay, so we have talked a little bit before, and you told me that you sometimes sit out in public and get some inspiration from drawing in public.
Yeah.
Tell me about some times when you've drawn inspiration from the general public and how that usually works.
Drawing people in public is a hugely beneficial exercise because it's not like a figure drawing class where you have someone to pose for you. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of take a snapshot in your mind really quickly of what is the story for that person at this moment and try to capture that. And we call that cafe sketching. When I was in school, we would all drive around, try to find places where there was the greatest concentration of people to draw them. Wherever there's a lot of people gathered together, there's a lot of material, and you just go for it. Usually people don't really notice, and if they do, they're usually like, gotta get into a better pose now, which is entertaining in and of itself, because then you're drawing somebody that's clearly acting. But the library definitely offers a lot of material to work with.
Portrait drawing and animation or illustration are different. And one primary difference is in portrait drawing, you're trying to get all the details correct about what somebody looks like.
Yes, that's right.
I'm sure there's still the essence of the personality that you're going for, but you're focused a lot on, hey, is that picture one that looks like that individual?
Mm-hmm.
That's not always necessarily the case with the illustrations. It's more, hey, I need to look for that person's essence and then draw it.
That, what you're describing is also like caricature or a very mm-hmm. quick illustration when you're having to communicate a real person.
Mm-hmm.
For most of animation and illustration, it's a collaborative process where your characters aren't based on necessarily one real person.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do to be ready for those jobs is to be familiar with as many types of personalities as you can,
mm-hmm.
which is one reason that drawing at places like a public library is super helpful.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole different area of your brain that you're using. You're assessing personality, which is more unseen than actually being able to physically draw something out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a different mode that you're working in there that I hadn't really considered too much before.
Yeah, it is a different mode, and especially when you're doing something that's more abstract, like cartoons, you're not only taking those personality types that you've made sort of a library of for yourself, you aren't communicating that as a real person. Not very much animation is trying to look photorealistic. And so you're trying to use shape language and kind of shape psychology to communicate personality types to paper.
Is that something that you found yourself doing naturally, is just being a people watcher?
Yes, definitely. That was the kind of art that I would draw for fun as a kid. And I didn't really know that, like, commercial art wasn't in my head as a thing that people actually did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of fine artists. I'd taken lessons from fine artists and a portrait artist. And then what I would draw when, like, that was too hard or that was not what I was really interested in, I would have in the margins the kind of drawings that I did for fun and I later found out were part of the process for commercial art. The first time that I saw another artist doing that for real, or because that's usually behind the scenes art. It's not what makes it to the final form of a film or a television show when they're doing character expressions and character sheets, body language, quick sketches like that to inform how the animation and acting will work. The first time I saw an artist doing that, I was like, yes, that's what I want to do. Of course, he was doing it much better than I was doing at 14, but it was the first time I saw anybody draw what I liked to draw.
So this was, you were 14 years old and you first came across this style of art.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was at that point that you knew you wanted to participate in that and pursue learning more about that.
That is correct. It clicked later for me than it did for a lot of my peers who went through the animation program with me. Some of them were like 5 years old and going, I'm going to make animation. Didn't click for me until I was 14, but once it did, it was very, very solid.
What's your favorite character that you've ever developed?
There's some that I'm attached to that grew up with me. Some of them have been in comics since I was a kid and have changed a lot over time, but I'm definitely attached to those ones still. And another one of my favorites is a film that I'm just starting pre-production on. It's collaborative between myself and another artist and my sister, who's a film student and she's a screenwriter. The characters that are coming out of that collaboration are so fun to work with. I'm really excited to get further into the project.
Okay, talk more about those characters.
Those characters are an Irish vampire that really just wants to be left alone. He hides out in his apartment and watches Gilligan's Island. A kid who's figured out that he's a vampire and wants to do a report on that for school, and a lady whose job it is to hunt rogue vampires, and the three of them end up sort of forced to spend an afternoon together. That's the short film that we're working on, and I'm having a blast.
So you came up with these characters?
My sister was the first creator of these characters. Okay. She was the one who wrote the short script, and how those characters are visualized and how the acting is, that's me. And then I have another artist that I'm bringing onto the project. And when it is a collaborative project, I don't think I can ever claim a character as, this is 100% mine, or this is 100% yours, because they have bits and pieces of everyone who works on them.
As far as your part goes, how do you decide what these characters are going to be like, their personality? Tell me about that process of developing them further.
Part of that is you always, this sounds slightly sinister, but when you're writing and creating characters, you always want to make them suffer. That's what audiences relate to. That's what draws people in initially is, oh, hey, I've been super frustrated or super upset. I can relate to this character. And then there's a lot of humor in figuring out what would be frustrating or what would cause suffering for a particular character. So the vampire that just wants to hang out in his house and watch Gilligan's Island, there's a lot of humor in he just can't catch a break. A woman whose job it is to kill vampires was chasing another vampire and crashed into his apartment. And she has a similar adverse reaction because, man, she just got done killing one guy. Now there's another monster that she's going to have to kill. And that is complicated by the kid who wants to do a report for school who shows up at the apartment. You can't kill a guy in front of a small child. And so she becomes the piece around which the two adult figures act.
So I told a few people that I was going to be interviewing an illustrator animator, and they kind of had this surprised reaction of, that lives in Paducah. You know, like, I don't think a lot of people know exactly what that career consists of. So can you explain what that is like for you and maybe some of the career options that are involved in doing what you do?
Yes. For a long time, even though that was what I wanted to do, I didn't really tell people that was what I wanted to do because I thought of it as inaccessible. I had met teachers before who had said, like, wow, your artwork would work really well in animation. And I'd be like, great, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't know. Because a lot of the industry is focused in, well, the most visible part of the industry is feature films. And the work that I'm doing right now as an animator, a lot of it is through a very small company. There are about 13 of us on the animation team. So what we're doing, and a lot of us work remotely, a couple of the workers are international, but we collaborate on projects like when people are trying to pitch their show to Netflix or Cartoon Network, and they need sample animation to go along with their pitch Bible. We do things like that, or when people are trying to fund an animation via crowdfunding like Indiegogo, we'll do their test animations for that. We also do things like commercials. We've done some music videos. But there are a lot of shorter form animation opportunities that you don't think about because most of the time you hear animation, you're like, so Disney. Mm-hmm. Disney, and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. And also a lot of shorter television animation is way more accessible than I would have guessed.
Do you ever do any collaboration with people, another type of artistic expression?
We recently did a music video. My company, Essence Cartoon, did a music video for Star Set. That worked really well. We're going to do a short animation, like an episode of animation, to go along with Star Set. They're a concept band. So our music video included their characters that are part of their concept. And they want to take that further into the storytelling realm, which isn't something I think they considered until recently. It's pretty exciting.
Sounds to me like you've got a lot of stuff going on. Thanks again for joining me on the show today. And I've got one last question for you. How does it feel when you are done with your project and you can look at it and it's complete?
Usually it's really exciting because you have something tangible to show mm-hmm. for all those hours and hours of work. And being able to, and that's what you started the project for originally, was to have something to show so that you can communicate that with your audience. So having that fully realized is amazing.
If you would like to see more of Meg's finished work, then you can find her online. If you Google Meg Mahoney Art, one of her web pages will become available, and you can look around there. She's also on Instagram, and I'll have some of her links available on Something From Nothing Facebook page. This has been another edition of Something From Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. And I'm your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.